All right, everyone, we're going to take a break from Genesis because it is the holidays and it is Thanksgiving. So you can open up your Bible to Psalm 100, Psalm 100. And we're going to take some time to think about Thanksgiving. It is a Thanksgiving time. We're going to look at the psalm and what it says about being thankful a bit, and then we're going to move on a little bit further from that. So it's Psalm 100, like I was saying to Arnell, the music, everything is going together with the Thanksgiving, of course, because we should be thankful. Regardless of what is going on in our lives and in our world, the Bible says that we praise Him in the good times and the bad times. But if you have Christ, there is always good when you have Him. So Psalm 100, you guys there? All right. Psalm 100, I'm going to read everything, even in your heading if you have the New King James Bible. What it says... It says, a song of praise for the Lord's faithful to His people. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is God. Good. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't do that. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth, or some translations, faithfulness, endures to all generations. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let me do this before I get interrupted again. Oops, sorry. Okay. Psalm 100 is a thanksgiving to the Lord. And when we think about thanksgiving, it can be a time of reflection, and it should be a time of reflection. It's a time to be thankful for what was given to us individually and all together. Just as the pilgrims were thankful for the Native Americans for the help that saved their lives. And I'm not going to talk a lot about the first pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. If you would like to hear more about it, Pastor Tim did a great job last year. You can go onto our archives and check it out. But we're not going in that direction. We are thankful for the cross of Christ that saved us. And that's what we got to remember more than anything else. It's the cross of Christ. It's also a time of joy and celebration with our family and friends. And right here, we're not just friends, we're obviously family because we are with Jesus Christ and in His body. Reflecting on what was given to us and to others, and of course, more importantly than anything else, what we received from the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings that we have and are unable to count, whether we know of them or not. And that's a good thing about Thanksgiving, because we are blessed more than we ever could imagine. If we have food and shelter, we're blessed. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. That's going to be a theme for tonight. But unfortunately, it also can be a time of great sadness, loneliness, hopelessness, and despair for many who are alone in the holiday season, especially Christmas. Christmas can be a really difficult time. Suicide rates go really high, and it can be difficult. Oh, it's your eyes. No, it's Isabella. I was like, what? Are you trying to tell me something? And it can be really difficult at times. And it's true. And I'm not saying this to bring anyone sadness, guilt, or shame for what you have or don't have. But it's to show and remind us of Jesus. And how when you have Christ, you are not alone. You are not without. Like the song said, give thanks. And we do give thanks. The weak are strong, the poor are rich because of what He did for us. That's a perfect song that you just bring in. And it's true. It reminds us of the blessings we have in Christ. He's given us eternal life already, and we got the cherry on top, which is treasures in heaven. We won't even understand what kind of Thanksgiving that's going to be. I think we talked about that. What kind of Thanksgiving it's going to be in heaven or the thousand-year reign. But it is. We are blessed. Jesus gave Himself for us. And we know that. And I said it last year. We're going to say this all together. And we don't even have to open our Bibles because we know this one. It's on an In-N-Out cup on the bottom. John 3:16. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's true. And we want to say right now, thanks for giving, Jesus, for giving your life to us, to save us, to restore us, to renew us, to bless us abundantly, no matter where we are. Even in a darkest pit or in glorious light, we are blessed because we know Christ. It's true. And Thanksgiving is all about giving. Just like the Native Americans gave to the pilgrims that saved them as Christ saved us. So I want to talk about the blessing of giving. We're going to hopscotch a little bit in the Bible. We're going to open our Bibles up to Acts 20. I'll give you some time to get there. If not, that's okay. You can just listen as I read it. It is the New King James Version. But Jesus gave himself. We're talking about Thanksgiving. And we have to remember, even in a culture that might not be so thankful, we are thankful, regardless of what's out there, regardless of what we face, regardless of even when we bring up these petitions and the struggles that people go through, whether it may be losing someone, whether it may be family, whether it could be our bodies breaking down. In the end, we are thankful so much because we know what eternity holds for those who are in Christ Jesus, which is us. So verse 32. We're going to start off in verse 32. Verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it's difficult at times to actually believe that in a self-centered world where everyone is separated. And even at times, of course, Christians can do that because we get busy. It's not always intentional. But Paul is making the point here that what Jesus said, for those who were with me, he says, he also helped them, the body, the brothers and sisters. He was open to helping them. He says we must support the weak, the people who can't fend for themselves or maybe are experiencing bad times. They may not be fully coming to Christ, but they're having bad times. And we are to support those in the body. We support one another. We do. That is what the church is about, right? How many times do we hear it up here? We need to support each other. But it's difficult sometimes if a person doesn't say they need help or call us up to need help. You may wind up hurting your elbow. But hey, you're here anyway. And it is difficult because we don't want to put anyone out, right? But again, the Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. In doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ, which is the ultimate love of God. And we love each other, you know. It shouldn't be here and there, but we love each other in so many ways. It may not always feel that way, right? Doing good, saying, how long must I help you when I have to support you? Why do I always have to go to you when you need help? Here's some money. What do you need? How many times am I going to do this? I'm getting really tired of it. Whatever the case is. And we ask those questions. Do you want to know what the answer is? Whatever the Lord tells you, however long he wants you to bear that burden, you bear it. And in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ, which is love. That's how long we do it. There's been times when I've been with people for years, and I'm like, get me out of this, Lord, I can't take it no more. But the scripture will always come back to my mind and said, well, hey, if I never leave or forsake, why should you? And in the end, it's good for you. Give thanks that I put you in this position. And it's true. But it doesn't always seem or feel that way when it's happening. Proverbs 3 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. And we're all able to do good, whether it's a little bit or a lot. Like the widow and her mite. She gave everything she had, but it was more than everyone else because they gave from their abundance. And she was blessed. She was thankful. And we don't even know until we see her how much that one penny was returned to her. Because that's what Jesus said. She has given more. So we can all give. And again, it depends if it's in our power and ability to help one another and people that God puts in our lives. Let's go to one of my favorite books, of course, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. So if we can do good, of course, the Bible says we should. That widow's mite, we can easily overlook and see what type of blessing that was and what she did. To be that thankful to the Lord, to give your last, tells you a lot of what her perspective was. She knew that God was good. She knew that God would take care of her in order to give it. She wasn't giving it just because, it's my last, what's the sense? But she put it in there because, of course, also she knew the scriptures. God would be there for her. So James 2, starting at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? And we all know these scriptures, but it's sometimes good to refresh our minds, especially during the holiday busy seasons. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Wait a second, this seems like a contradiction. I thought we're supposed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. Something's not right here. Oh, wait, James is going to explain it to us. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And all God's people said, Amen. Because the fact is, the Bible tells us that we examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not. And if Christ is in us, we can't help because of the Holy Spirit moving us and saying, I will help. It's easy to say depart in peace. And he's explaining, of course, you come to Christ with faith. But if you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and if you know that he changed you, you will have no problem doing the works that he calls us to do. Whoever is forgiven little loves little, but whoever is forgiven much loves much. And realistically, we are all forgiven much. But it can be hard, and it is especially in today's times, especially of helping people. You don't know who to help. Even when you see people on the street, you're not sure. I've tried several times, you know, you never know, and some people just don't want it. You got to have wisdom when you do help, of course. But it's wherever the Lord leads, there's always opportunities. And here it's basically like saying, I will pray that the Lord will send help to you, my brother or sister. Now we can easily say that and forget that the Lord is sending us, just like he did to his apostles. They went to Jesus. Send these people away, Lord. You're with me. Don't worry about it. I'm going to send you and I'm going to multiply whatever it has. We can be the same way. We can say, how are we going to help? What can we do? And I'm going to bring us in this situation. What our brother Raul, who praised the Lord, God heard our prayers and he's off to his sister or something like that. We don't know sometimes how to help. And he can call and then we talked and, you know, we're trying to do something. And say, okay, Lord, what do we do? And we said, we're going to do as much as we can for the sake of Christ to this brother who is a baby brother. So we prayed, we started, we looked at stuff, we looked at hotels, we were thinking of plane tickets or whatever it was, and we prayed and see what the Lord would do. Tim calls me back and says, oh, the manager or whatever is helping him out with the rooms, and now his sister or the manager? The sister gave him a ticket, and he's with her now, praise the Lord. We asked, Lord, do you want him to stay here or go to California? We don't know. God said, no, he's going with his sister where? in Washington. And that's a blessing. Even though in part of people's prayers and our prayers, we may not know the fullness of it, but God understands what we're praying for, and he'll say something different. So there is the rubber meeting the road. Even at the time when we feel, I don't know what to do. I feel like I can't help. I feel like I've done all I can. If we really submit ourselves before the Lord, he will tell us what to do. But there is the difficult part. I'll see you later. I love you. God bless you. Depart in peace. It's a difficult thing to bear someone's burdens, especially if you've tried to help them over and over again. But again, you have to remember this. If you're following the word, if you have the Holy Spirit, and we are his sheep, and we obey and hear his voice, we won't have to worry about that. He will let us know when to stop. He will let us know who to help and not to help. And sometimes it comes about by making mistakes. Sometimes a person can be overzealous to help, like me. And you can wind up helping people. Maybe you lose some money, but that's okay. And we're going to see it in the scriptures at that time. But God could take that for someone else. And you never know. Because he does lead and guide us. It is difficult. But we have to remember that we are not doing it. It's Christ that's doing us. He will empower us and give us what we need to help someone else if that's what he wants. We should never be fearful. Proverbs 19 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. I can testify to that. The many times that I've given out and I've said, oh man, maybe put myself in a situation. I'm not saying to do that. But God knew my heart. He always took me out more times than he should. I'm not going to test that. He's led me and guided me on who to help and who not to help at times. Because everything has a beginning and everything has an end. But if we do lend to the poor, it will be God who will pay us back. More so than we can ever think. And I know that for a fact. That's why sometimes it's easier to give because you know it's the Lord. But we still have that battle. Oh, I don't. Okay, Lord, yeah, what am I going to do? And I hear stories from people here and there who talk about God's goodness. Sometimes we pray and they say, oh, God came through. I don't know where this came from. But again, it's always the same issue with faith, right? Even when it comes to suffer, if God wants us to, quote unquote, suffer for his glory, then it isn't suffering. It is actually a blessing because Christ is in it. And all God's children said, amen. Watch it, Phil. So open your Bibles now to Luke 6. I told you we're going all over the place. But open your Bibles to Luke 6. And we're going to take it from what Jesus says, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And it's always good to go back to the words of our Lord and Savior. It's easy, again, to get busy and forget and be in him fully. He asked for a lot of difficult things. And when you're a new Christian, it sounds impossible. But again, with God, all things are possible. You know what, mister? You're getting yourself in trouble right there. I'm standing back because I don't know if a bolt lightning's coming down. Zoe, you better move away. Do you want to eat grass for 7 years? Is that Luke 6. We're going to start at, let's start at 30. Luke 6, verse 30. And in the context, he's talking about enemies. In other words, love your enemies and do good to them. But we're going to start at Luke 6, verse 30. You guys ready? Okay. Give to everyone who asks of you. That's a tough one. We'll get back to that. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Well, that's also a tough one. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Okay, Lord, I guess that's okay, because if I'm doing it, I want them to do it to me. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Ooh, that's tough. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Give to everyone who asks of you. It's not easy to do if you don't have Christ. And sometimes even with Christ, it's difficult. Because it's in our nature not to be so trusting through what life does to us, and especially to sinners. He's talking about the wicked. You're supposed to give them stuff, not hoping for anything in return. That's a tough one. But again, Jesus never asked us to do something without him giving us something even better. And that's what he says right here. Your reward will be great. Well, what is that reward? What could it possibly be? Is it only in heaven? When we follow Jesus and listen to him, think about what that can do to us in our minds, in our relationships, in our understanding, in our peace, in our joy, in our love, and the fruits of the Spirit when you obey God. He can do so many things, but again, we have to do what he says, of course, hoping for nothing in return. When I was younger and I wasn't really going to church, tithes would come. A lot of tithes would come, and the Lord would use them where he wants. Started going to church. One of these guys at my job, me and my friend, he needed a pretty good amount of money. I think it was like $700 or whatever, $500, $700. So we got our tips and we gave it to him. He said he would pay us back. Fortunately, we knew the scripture. Because again, he wasn't a Christian. And we would use that to minister God to him and his goodness. And every time we would give, we'd say, this is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to understand his goodness. We applied that. And we always had more than we needed. God would always give us. We didn't want anything. We didn't need anything. We had the joy of the Lord. And it's difficult at times. But we were doing this. Now at the time, he's like, oh, I'm going to pay you back. We're like, okay. And, you know, your flesh is like, next thing you know, he left. Even though we saw this and said, hope for nothing in return, the flesh rose and said, we're going to get you. But we're like, oh, no. That's the flesh talking. Thank you, Lord, because you will give us even more. We did it for you, not for him. And that's, I think, where we make the mistake. Because we tend to do things for people because of us at times. And not saying, it's for you, Lord, it's for you, Lord, it's because of you, it's because of you. I'm just your messenger, I'm just your servant. This person is a sinner, but I'm going to do it because, well, you love him. He's still made in your image. It's not easy to be merciful in an unmerciful world when you look around. Even the good that you do could be thrown back in your face. You could be used. And that's obvious. But we can really feel hurt and broken over things like that if we take our eyes off of Christ, because we're doing it for him. Do all things to the glory of God. That's what we do it for. We do make it about ourselves if we do expect or want something in return and feel irritated about it, because everything we have is not our own. That was right. It's not ours. It really isn't. That delicious cake you ate, Siobhan didn't make it. She was the handmaid of the Lord. The Lord told her to make it. And you can go that far. I mentioned it. I don't know who it was to, but I was like, this is odd. What is it with pastors' wives where they learn how to bake all of a sudden? I don't understand that, because she didn't bake before, but all of a sudden we're in ministry and now she's baking. And I said, maybe it's the Lord, because, you know, what was it? Feed them and they'll come. Well, you see Jesus doing that with the fish and the loaves. And of course, I'm going a little further. But it's true. It isn't easy to be merciful in a merciless world. And you can get jaded. We can lose sight. We lose discernment. We don't want to show love. We don't want to help. Why should I, Lord? I'm tired of it. How long must I do it? What was the answer again? As long as the Lord wants you to. That's how long. And we can wander in circles if we don't do it, until we learn the lesson that he's trying to teach us as well. That's why, again, it is better to give than receive, because it's for us. Someone cuts you off. What do you give them? The finger? No. You give them mercy. You give them the gift of mercy, and you're thankful for the mercy that you have received from Christ. Someone goes in the line in front of you in the store when it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. What do? Hit them in the back of the head? Yes. No. You bless them and say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me patience and I allow this person to go ahead of me. Give until you can't give no more. That is the commandment of the Lord. Give until you can't. And however that is, the Lord will tell you. Now, the widow, she gave her last. We don't know if she lived with someone, but of course you're being led by the Spirit. You're using wisdom. You're not just going to... There was this one back in the 1800s. He was a friend of Spurgeon, became a Christian. He took it to the extreme. He was rich, but he started allowing everyone to come into his house. Homeless people, drug addicts, drunks, they took everything and they beat him up. They kept beating him up. And he was destitute. He had nothing. So his friend helped him. That's going too far. Maybe here, but what kind of blessings does he have because he did it for the Lord? Now, I'm not saying to do that because you have to be wise. But you give until you can't give no more. And how do you know when you can't give? Lord, okay, that's enough. And he will tell you, pull away, if this person isn't listening, if the pearls are going before swine. But you have still received your blessing, and sooner or later you'll know what it is. You're still doing the will of God, and you are still blessed more than you were before. So give until you can't give no more. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, of course, giving thanks to his name. Amen and praise God. And we did that right now. Arnell's here, lead us in worship, and we were giving thanks. Verse 16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well pleased. As Paul said, I considered everything lost for the knowledge of Christ. This is what gain is. And if it's in his will for us to lose something for the sake of his glory, amen. And all God's children say, amen. Because it's true. Say it. Say it, Phil. Say amen. And it is true. We are to do good and to share. It is a sacrifice. See, the Bible and the Lord knows it. It's not the question that it isn't a sacrifice. It is. It may be. I have two pieces of bread left. I'm going to give it to the other person, but I still have it. You know, it's like that old saying, and we never know. There was this man, and you may know this, I think it's like a proverb. I don't know what it is and where it came from. But it's the story of a man who had a quarter left, and he don't know how he got there. So he said, why, God, I only have a quarter left. What am I supposed to do with this quarter? Why did you do this to me? What is going on? So he doesn't know what to do. And he goes and decides just to buy an orange because it was 25 cents. He takes that orange with tears in his eyes. He's sort of irritated and angry, and he's crying. And he's peeling his orange and saying, this is all I have. I don't understand, Lord. What is going to happen to me? Aren't you going to be there for me? And as he's throwing the peels on the floor, he hears a noise. So he turns around and sees another man picking it up and eating the peels that he is dropping. So we never know. That's why it's never good to complain about anything, because if Christ is in our life, we don't have to worry about where our next meal will come from. And it would have been good for that guy, maybe he did, turned around and shared his orange. I guarantee you right there, that guy was thankful for the orange that he had. And that's where we should always be. Be thankful for what we have, because we also have each other, amen? We should be able to rely on each other. That's what family is. Thick and thin, good and bad, whatever. We should be able to call on each other any time of day to help each other or help other people. But you have to call. No more bed picking up by yourself for you. So if you know someone in these holiday seasons who is alone Thanksgiving, whether it's a sinner or a saint, and the Lord puts it in your heart to invite them, do it. Invite them. Is it uncomfortable for you? Maybe. Is it a sacrifice? Well, the Bible says yes. But that doesn't matter because you are gaining more than what you are giving out. What does it cost? A turkey leg? Your favorite wing? A gizzard? A neck? Who liked the neck again? Maybe a neck? But whether it's a sinner or a saint, if we do know someone, because of the love of Christ and fulfilling his law, we should invite each other, be with each other. It is better to give than receive. Is that not true when we think about it from the eyes of Christ? Because we will never be without. And that's what the Bible says. The righteous have never been forsaken or lack bread. So let's go back to Psalm 100, and we'll close with that. Because after all of that, we're realizing that God is with us. He is good to us. He's good to people around us. He's good to the just and the unjust. He's loving, and we are to mimic him and to share what we have, not only with each other, of course, but with the rest of the world by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that. Don't do it on your own, wherever the Holy Spirit leads. So we're going back to Psalm 100, and I'm going to ask you to indulge me before the Lord, okay? Now I need you to listen to this part. We are going to read together out loud. I'm going to read lower because otherwise I'll overshadow everyone. And maybe the people watching online want to hear that. And also, if you're watching online, join us. It's all right if you're by yourself or a couple of people. It's fun. We're going to stop at each verse, and you're going to repeat what I say afterwards, okay? We're going to read it together. Stop at each verse and repeat after me, okay? Because we want to really take this psalm of thanksgiving and apply it to our lives. We are grateful for everything God gives us. Whoever he puts in our path, we share the best we can as we grow with him. So verse 1 in Psalm 100, which is a psalm of thanksgiving. And we're going to read it together. Ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. There's a song that we sing, and it's that one word that says hoorah. So on the count of three, we're going to say hoorah. 1, 2, 3. Hoorah! Amen. Praise the Lord. We made a joyful shout to the Lord. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now you're going to sing these words after I say it. I will serve you with all of my heart. Sing it. I will serve you with all of my... All right, that was pretty bad. Aren't you blessed? Are you guys blessed? Are you guys blessed? So why don't we sing out loud? Because again, we are thanking the Lord. We will sing praises to him. I will serve you with all of my heart, Lord. Serve you with all of my... with all of my heart. And all God's people say, amen. Verse 3. Don't go too far there, Phil. Verse 3. All together. Ready? Go. Know that the Lord is good. God, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now repeat after me once I say this. You are God alone. We are your people.
We are God's people. We are your people.
Look what's happening, Phil. And all God's people said, amen. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be grateful, thankful to him and bless his name. After I say it, you say it. We thank, praise, and bless you, Lord.
We thank,
praise, and bless you, Lord. Last one. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen and a clap offering. because it is true. Amen, Lord Jesus. All this is true when it comes to our God. He is worthy to be praised. He deserves our thanksgiving. He deserves everything that we can give him, because it would never be enough for what he did for us on the cross. So it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I want to thank you all for being here and watching online. Thank you guys for your service, Arnell, Helen, and everyone else here behind the sound booth who has never saw. Everyone who is here, thank you for being the Lord's people. Thank you for choosing Christ. Thank you for smiling because of the Lord. And as always, thank you that we can say we are a family because of what he did for us. Thank us all. And in the end, we thank each other for this because of what Christ did on the cross for us. It's a blessing. Go out and be blessed, be a blessing to others. And whoever Christ puts in your path, even though it may not be easy, what do I do, Lord? And do what he tells you to. And all God's children said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we do bless your name and we do thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you that because of knowing you, you show us truth, not the truth of the world, but what really matters. We do know that it's better to give because you will provide more than what we need, and you bless us. The more we walk in your presence and are led by your Spirit, there is nothing better than that. You gave the most precious gift. You gave yourself to save us, to restore us, to renew us, to bless us with everything in you, Jesus. We thank you. And in this Thanksgiving, we exalt your name. We praise you. We magnify you. We just come before your cross and thank you and remember the blood that you shed. You are worthy to be praised. You deserve all of our thanks. Thank you, Father, for us being able to remember you. We praise you, Father, and ask that you again go before us and fill our hearts with praise to you, because you are worthy. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.